Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight, darlings. This is Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, coming to you live on Come Now, Don't Sulk, our wonderful weekly podcast, which is broadcasting all around the world at the same time. Imagine you're part of a family that is in both hemispheres. It's in the Western Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere. You're connected to people in Australia and Germany, and you're connected to people even in the Arctic Circle right now. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, which is on Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're here every Monday night. But wait, boys and girls, no, this isn't a strange deja vu, and no, your bio clock is not completely off since we turned the clocks forward. It is not Monday night tonight. Because of technical difficulties last night, we had to postpone our broadcast this week to tonight. So it is indeed Tuesday. It is indeed the day before St. Patrick's Day, and we are recreating our wonderful broadcast of Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is brought to you this week and every week by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. We're here tonight, Gwendolyn and I. Once we realized our broadcast was completely unraveling, and the nice people, and I'm emphasizing the word nice in that sentence, the nice people at Blog Talk Radio had screwed up somehow their technical services. So when we realized we weren't going to go over the airwaves last night, we rescheduled the show for tonight. We reconnoitered, and we figured out what to do, and we are here with you. And Gwendolyn Holdenberry is not only our executive producer, but she's also our head fragrantriologist and founder of daughtersofisis.com. And Gwendolyn, I want you to tell everybody the fragrance we were talking about, which we thought would be perfect for this time right now, with spring coming, winter leaving reluctantly. What was the fragrance that you suggested for us last night?
Oh, I suggested the oil of pure love. Because this is our double equinox show.
Yeah.
We get double equinox because we're double the fun this week. It's the out of my Yaya Queen collection, which is a basic voodoo sensual experience. I suggested Pure Love because it's spring coming. April showers, or they're going to bring the May flowers, right? And
absolutely.
You know, it's
and jasmine. Gwendolyn, wait one second. I want you to hear this, because Mummy sometimes has memory problems at her age, but I remember that the first three fragrances, or first three substances that you mentioned that were in this were, watch this, jasmine, lavender, and civet. Can you believe I remembered that without writing it down? Yes. So go on. Talk to us about what the fragrance is. Not only what it represents, but talk to us about the nature of the fragrance.
Well, it's really a love drawing potion, and it's put all together, or sparked together. All those florals are sparked together with a little black pepper. And, you know, the black pepper calls in strong energy, but the florals, they bring all of the jasmine is often thought of as the king of fragrance, where rose is the queen. But the lavender is a very feminine and wise feminine, but always beautiful scent. When you think of a scent, you can often put an archetype to it, you know, and I see lavender as sort of like the beautiful white buffalo woman kind of thing. But you know, there's a thing that after the equinox, or what many cultures felt was the ring out as a new year. On the first full moon, if you take a white rose and you put a potion on it under the moonlight and call for, you know, in the highest good, your true love to come, well, voila, that's an old, just like most of the folklore and the spells and the come to me's. But during spring equinox, it's the white rose. And it's a wonderful.
And the equinox is this week. The equinox falls on Saturday?
Yes, it's Saturday. It brings us the sun into Aries, and we burst forth. That's a lot of energy coming. And last night we went over this, and we were talking about how love is in the air in spring because it's traditional, but it's nature. Nature puts love in the air, and I'm sure everybody who's ripe and ready for it is raring to go, even with COVID.
Yes. Well, I do. It's funny because I always, living in Pennsylvania now, having left New York City, but still moving only like 2 hours away, and I'm here in the suburbs of Philadelphia, I'm still in a northeastern climate. And I have to remember that half of our listeners are below the equator. Our huge following in Australia is now facing the fact that they're entering their fall season. So when we start going, you know, rhapsodic about spring, we have to remember that those poor people are facing, you know, their colder weather, such as it is in Australia. I mean, you know, it's not like they have like, you know, Vermont or New Hampshire weather or Maine or you know, Alberta, Canada, that sort of thing. But it is funny because last night you and I were talking about the fact that spring represents new love and falling in love and spring fever and all sorts of, you know, romantic Disney-esque, Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes-ish cartoon images of love, and both Gwendolyn and I associate spring with, if not love lost, a poignancy of love. We, you know, my first great love I met in April, April 11th, and although that did, it was in a I mean, I loved this man till the day he died, many years later. Although we didn't stay together, I adored him forever. And he was the first person I ever loved. And I had never known what falling in love was going to be like. And it was astounding to me. And it was a love at first sight situation. I spotted him walking through Carl Schurz Park, just outside of Gracie Mansion in New York City, where the mayor lives. And I spotted him and I was smitten. And we spotted each other and we started chatting. And then we went out for coffee and then our romance began. And I literally was Olivia in Twelfth Night by Shakespeare. It was like, you know, the wonderful monologue where she says, ha, can it happen so fast? You know, is it possible to be stung so quickly? And I literally, when I walked away from him a few hours later, I was sick. I was completely lovesick for the first time in my life. I had never known what that was. And remained, you know, I loved him forever, even when we weren't together anymore. I loved him. He knew that. I think that he said that he loved me for the rest of his life before he passed away. And oddly enough, I happened to have been the last person that spoke to him. I was talking to him on the phone when he moved to Provincetown, and I found out that he, after he hung up and we had chatted, and he went in and laid down on his bed and took a nap and never woke up. And the friend who had been there said that I was the last person that ever spoke to him. And the last thing that Greg ever said to me was, I love you. And I said, well, I've loved you forever. And he said, I have too. And so it's strange. So April is, I would never have traded that experience away for anything in the world. And although he, like many of my friends and loved ones, passed away during the AIDS catastrophe, I, as sad as I am about April 11th, I am filled with the way we were film poignancy. that movie is always that experience to me, and I hold him in my heart to this day. So it's funny how April and spring and all of that, and I love that fragrance that you, I haven't gotten a bottle of that, but the concoction of jasmine, God, jasmine, lavender, civet, and then pepper. Oh my God, it sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful. So I want to make sure that everyone goes to daughtersofisis.com while we podcast tonight. Go to your laptop and look up daughtersofisis.com, and that is in one of their many, 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 many scores of products there. Buy something for your senses, for your olfactory senses, for your philosophical senses, everything. Yes, what?
Well, I have to ask you, what scent brings you to him? To that first Paul, like that love of your life. Yes, what scent?
Well, I have to say that
cologne. It could be gray flannel, but what scent? Do you know it?
Okay,
it
I will tell you this. It's not a cologne. It is, I have to tell you that whenever I smell the soil of, when I smell earth thawing, and like every April 11th, I would go to Gracie Mansion Park and walk around, and I'd take a big thermos of hot chocolate, and I would go there, and I would sit there in the benches overlooking the East River and the lighthouse there and Roosevelt Island and everything. And I would be there, and I would feel Greg very intensely, because it's that wonderful smell and sight of the sun beginning to climb higher in the sky, but still being low enough, that chill in the air that comes at 3 p.m. because it's not quite spring yet, but it's warm enough to be out in a sweater and a light jacket. And there's the smell of the dirt, and there's the smell of nature stirring. So it's like you can smell that the daffodils have started to push out of the ground, and it's not that they have it's not daffodils and tulips smelling, it's that the earth is thawing. And so that spring, and I guess the smell that I would think of him personally is his sweaters, his sweaters. If I smelled a sweater that had been washed in woolite, hand washed in woolite and then dried.
Well,
I
think we all can evoke a sensual scent.
Yeah.
Not sensual, but sensual memory of someone that we will never let out of our heart. I know I have, you know, that for myself. I'm never going to say what it is, but it's there. And it was true after 25 years. But yes, we do that. We do have a caller. I think it's our old friend who was with us last night.
Who is it tonight?
I think it's Wayne who's called in.
Wayne, great. And then I want to get on a subject in a minute with both of you. So, Wayne, are you there?
Just let me interject real quick here. You have the best intro music of any Blog Talk Radio show I have ever listened to.
Well, we started it. You know who it is.
Yes. I know it's from like show business tunes or something like that.
It's from Hazel. Right, it's the old Shirley Booth TV show, Hazel. It's a wonderful theme song, and I wish that we had someone who would write a theme song for our show. But if you listen to the song, Hazel, and you could also substitute the name Sybil in there and rewrite the lyric to it, and that would be very funny. But yes, when Gwendolyn and I were thinking of putting this show together, we thought what would be bubbly and fun, and I went to my TV Tunes CDs and I listened to about 20 of them, and Hazel's theme came up, and I thought, oh, that's such a happy, snappy, sassy theme.
Sassy. Bottom line is you nailed it, okay?
Thank you.
You got
it. Yeah, Gwendolyn thought so too. She thought when I suggested it, we both laughed and we played it, and she said, oh, yeah, that's definitely this show. And the line, come now, don't sulk, I like to let the audience try to find out where that's from, but it's from a famous movie. It's actually it's a slight rephrasing of the line, but it's from a famous movie, and I'll give you a hint. It's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. So I will say that much. Come now, don't sulk. So anyway, I want to talk to both of you tonight. So many things we could talk about. We could talk about the fact that the statistics on the support for Donald Trump among Republicans is just astronomical, and they've done surveys on how many Republicans, you know, will vote for him and how many prefer him to anybody else and how many are QAnon. I mean, they've done elaborate surveys on GOP red voters and where they stand today and what they're willing to do. It's interesting that people who identify as GOP Republicans, only a fraction of them are turned off, apparently, by Donald Trump, and that they still, as a party, are galvanized overwhelmingly behind Donald Trump and running again in 2024, which is astounding. There's also, what is the statistic that only 30% of diehard Republicans are willing to get vaccinated? That's another statistic that I find absolutely shocking, and the red states are overwhelmingly unmasking and lifting all restrictions. So that means that whole tornado alley between Minneapolis and the Dakotas, straight on down to Texas and Louisiana and the Alabama, Mississippi, all of that, and into Florida, that whole tornado alley thing, from the Keys basically to Fargo, is unmasking, lifting all restrictions, and wants Donald Trump to come back. I'm shocked. I don't know what to say. So I'm going to ask you both to weigh in on that, and then we're going to go to a different subject, because I don't want to take up the whole show with that strychnine still in our system, that ptomaine poisoning still in our systems. But Gwendolyn, let's start with you. What do you think about all that? You've been listening to the news. What do you think about all of that, especially as listeners at home? We have Wayne, where are you calling in from?
Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay, and if Pamela calls in, she'll be calling in from Florida. And then, of course, our producer, Gwendolyn, is broadcasting to us simultaneously in her studio from Port St. Lucie. So as a Floridian, what do you think, Gwendolyn?
About Republicans and their choices?
And all of it. DeSantis, all of it.
I think that the goddess has dropped back on down onto the planet, and she's walked through the door with the blade open, Lady Corona. And she is evening the field. And if these people are so foolish as to chase profiteering and patriarchy, misogyny, and, abuse, of a community and people, and abuse of their own, even their own families in this way, morally, that the retribution is swift, and it's in the form of a plague. I think it's very biblical right now, to tell you the truth, but honestly, it's just cycles of nature and the influence of the energy that's on the planet right now. We have to make these choices or the planet will perish, and so will species. So many species are dying per day, and enough is enough.
Which I find intolerant. I find that intolerable. The only thing I ask is that human beings destroy themselves. I wish that we could just... If we're going to wipe ourselves out, I just wish that we would leave everything from single cell organisms on up to elephants and, you know, the cat family, everything, trees. I wish that we would just decimate ourselves, but leave the planet, and then the planet can start over and figure out what experiment it wants to try another next time. But no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm sorry to say that so many innocent people who are being careful, who are being responsible, who do care about each other and the environment, are also going under the COVID blade. So it seems very unfair. But I'll tell you something. Every night on the news, the film of those morons, 20-somethings, they're millennials, are in spring break, in full rampage on spring break in Florida right now, is astounding to me. Astounding. It doesn't seem possible that Americans quote unquote, the most educated and the most successful people on earth are that stupid. And I must agree with the goddess, you know,
mm-hmm.
go to it, honey. Go to it, lady. Yes. I mean, go to Florida, get down to Fort Lauderdale, wipe out the wet t-shirt contest, wipe out the pull out your dick contest, that MTV
mm-hmm.
crowd that is down there parading around. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to see that going on. But anyway, Wayne, you weigh in now. What do you think about all of this?
Well, very good. Thank you. Unfortunately, I have family members on my wife's side, farmers on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. They are not going to get vaccinated. They have had 30 years of a plethora of propaganda, nihilistic stuff that they have bought into it. They are Trumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get vaccinated because Trump told them it was fake. They're not going to do the social distancing and masking because it's just fake. That's for other places. That's not going to happen here.
Right.
And then here's the where it really strikes home for me is, I guess, in the midpoint of the peninsula, my youngest daughter, works at a brokerage firm, a trucking brokerage firm. And some of the other coworkers, they're from the same area as Dorchester County. We talked about that. Cambridge, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass all escaped from. Well, she had coworkers that this is all fake, man. We're having a big party, you know, lots of alcohol, you know, party, woo, all this kind of stuff. And then they come to work. And because she's on the phone and they're on the phone too, is so that everybody can hear them, they take their masks off. My daughter, who doesn't go anywhere, 26 years old, got COVID because she got contracted from those sitting next to her on the phone while she's on the phone too without a mask talking. She has been in the hospital. She had to go 3 times because of her breathing being very labored and, you know, basically boosting her with oxygen. And she's now finally starting to come out of it. But she, her breathing even today while she's sleeping, because she came to visit me over the weekend. I was very concerned because it was very erratic, and it was very disturbing for a father to hear his daughter.
Yes, of course.
Sleeping like that, yeah.
Wayne, did anyone else in the office contract it?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was somebody, the person who had it and brought it in that she caught it from, right?
And
you
did
know,
anybody
they
else besides your daughter get it?
I don't know. No, see, I just.
And did what was the office's reaction? Did they shut the office down? Did they say, "Oh, this is so bad that we're going to close the office," or are they just humming
those
their merry way
signs,
along?
Yeah. Very good question. Those that showed signs, they sent home, and you know, working from home. And if you had any kind of inkling that you were starting to run a fever, or you're sitting there working and you coughed, send them home. You know, could have been an allergy cough, but they were not going to take that chance.
We do.
But my question is this. Okay, I understand. But my question is this: was there any hand wringing or people saying, "Gee, I guess we really blew it"?
No, not from this crowd.
I'm such a New Englander. I'm such a daughter of the Mayflower and the Revolution. You know, I keep waiting for people to be sorrowful, to tear their hair, gnash their teeth, and tear their breasts. You know, their garments, and fall on the ground, writhing in biblical sorrow and contrition. It's like no one is sorry. No one is sorry for making mistakes. No one is sorry. I'm waiting for the three-toothed hillbilly red voter to get back on the air and say, "I killed my parents by bringing COVID into their home and their nursing home. I carried it in and was sick myself. And I never wore a mask, and I encouraged them not to wear masks. And now they're all dead. I watched them die in agony." Where are the people – half a million people died. There's got to be someone who's sorry that they that they did it.
We do have another caller, Mummy. Would you like me to open it up? And 716 caller.
Hi, Pamela.
How are you? Pamela, you heard what we were just talking about. We're going to talk about that for one more second while you're here. Pamela,
that's
you heard
fine.
The statistic on red voters, Republicans not getting the vaccine in overwhelming numbers, all of that, you know, overwhelming support for Trump coming back. And you're in Florida too. How do you feel? What do you feel about all of that?
I'm kind of numb to the whole thing. It just kind of disgusts
uh-huh.
me. I don't understand how people can be, I guess, so stupid, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And just not, you know, intelligent enough to see that it's just not right.
Can I ask you and the other two, can I ask all three of you, did you at any point feel, this is making me laugh, this is making Mummy chuckle, did at any point you three people feel that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden would be a lifting, not a lifting of the curtain, a curtain dropping on the psychosis of Trump, all of that energy, QAnon? Did you feel that when they came in, that given a month or two, that we would be, that would begin to lift, begin to vanish?
Honestly, did you
think we were stuck with this completely, this intensely, and would be indefinitely?
I think it's a cycle. It's a part of a greater cycle that's going on where there's going to be harsh judgment in great lessons that are going to be hard to learn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wayne?
I would have to say what there really needs to be is an intervention. You can be addicted to alcohol. You can be addicted to drugs. You can also be addicted to political nihilistic bullshit. And there truly needs to be an intervention. The only thing is you're not going to cure an alcoholic until he's ready to cure himself. So that's kind of the statement is these people are not ready to cure themselves. They don't see the abyss that they're falling into and becoming subservient to. Until they do, then we're always going to have the Trump, the Sarah Palins, the Michelle Bachmans, the Ted
Cruz's.
Oh,
I love that you're going back to them because those are the seeds. I say those names on my blog, and people say, who? People don't even remember who Michelle Bachman is or her idiot husband.
Oh, my goodness.
But those were the seeds. That's why I go off on Jenna Bush. It's like Jenna Bush is on the Today Show. She's a low bitch. I mean, why? She would never be on there if she wasn't George Bush's daughter. And frankly, for her to be posing as some, you know, progressive woman and so loving and all, let's wrap our arms around everybody and love each other. No, your father is the seed planter of Donald Trump. Dick Cheney and George Bush and frankly, her grandfather are the seed planters of this hideous psychosis that we now are grew and came right out of the ground of the garden. The American garden finally bore a tree with hideous fruit on it called Donald Trump. That seed was planted back when George Bush ran for president. This is old news.
I didn't go back to Reagan with the moral majority.
Yes,
and the religious
I agree
fanatics.
With you.
Let's go back to there.
Absolutely. Pamela, what do you think? Did you think that this was going to linger on, or did you think it was going to maybe start to subside with Joe Biden?
I knew it was going to take a little while to subside at all. I mean, there was so much pain, so much hurt, so much animosity, so much hatred, so much anger that's gone on that it's just not going to, you know, it's not going to be like Linda the Good Witch. We're going to wave the magic wand and it's going to
right.
It's just not going to happen as much as we'd like it to.
Well, I absolutely, I agree completely. And I must tell you that
more and more and more, I believe that 90% of the people that rioted on January 6th are going to walk away scot-free. That some of them are going to get time served at a petting zoo in their, you know, their podunk town. Now, you were very wrong to kill a policeman, and your sentence is 30 days in the Bidawi petting zoo, and you're going to have to clean the cat litters. Okay, next case. All right. You set fire to Nancy Pelosi's office, and your punishment is to take a fly swatter and to eliminate any flies you find in Dr. Randall Ferguson's dentist office, and you're to remove flies and this for 7 whole days. Okay, next. It's going to be the most absurd non-sentences for these people. They're all going to get away with it because the people on the juries are them. They're the same people who are going to say, well, I would have gone and burned the Capitol down myself.
Jesus. See, you got a point there.
Isn't that right, Selma Lou?
Right. I mean, I binge-watched Law & Order for 25 years now. I know every episode on every one of their franchises. I can do the lines. And this is classic when they do the voir dire with the juries, and they say, now, jury number three, do you think you can be impartial on this case, having come into the courtroom with hand grenades in your purse, do you think you can be impartial about domestic terrorism? I surely can, and I'm going to tell you something. If I had gone there, I would have used Nancy Pelosi as a human pinata and hit her with sticks until candy or pooks came out. It feels like they're just going to be the same people.
It's okay. Let me draw another parallel for you here. You know, a white man killed a black man, hung him in a tree. He's arrested. He's now going to jury. This is the old South, 1930s. Well, the area I'm from, their last hanging was in 1936. My mother was alive and a little girl at that time. And the outcome of that aspect was those who were involved were found not guilty because the N-word here was asking for it and deserved it. He was getting too uppity, quote unquote.
Right. Right.
Now let's take that same thing, but role reversal to it. You committed treason. You committed a terrorist act against your own government at the nation's Capitol building of the Senate and the House. Bad boy. Bad boy. Don't do that no more.
Right. Right. Well, there's a video playing right now. Occupy Democrats are playing a video that was taken by a policeman's his own personal camera. A woman walked into a bank, and she was 60 years old, and I can't remember if it was Florida or Texas, but the video is all over the place right now. And she refused to put on a mask. The policeman walked up to her and said, I'm sorry, ma'am. He was very respectful. You're going to have to put on a mask. You can't be in this place without a mask on because of, you know, the law is now that. And she said, this is a public space. And he had to explain, no, it's not a public space. It's a private space. It's a company. It's a bank. And you're allowed to be outdoors in a public space, but not here without a mask. And she continued. And it escalated with people watching. And she began to get she was very confrontational. Then she pushed him, and he said, oh, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. And she pushed him. And finally, he had to say, I'm going to have to take you out of here. That, of course, she made into the fact that it was police brutality and that she was the one being victimized. He literally patiently began to restrain her. As she became more violent, he finally took her down to the floor, continued to be very patient with her, asked her to put her hand behind her back. She would not. He had to wrestle her hand back. And she proceeded to say, look, everyone, he's police brutality. And people began to yell at her, no, it's not. We're watching this. So and she, she went on and on and on. She continued to play the gender card, the age card, the victim card. She couldn't play the race card because she was white and he was white. Mm-hmm. But she played every card as a manipulator. And then finally he got her outside. He got her to the car. He called for backup. She claimed that she'd hurt her foot. He immediately called so that they could have medical people there to examine her foot to make sure she's okay. But his patience was astounding. And what I was filled with was, and other people that commented, because the comments poured in, you know, the dislikes, you know, the mad emojis, all of that. What was shocking was, as a born-again Christian, family values, law and order, conservative, mask denier, vaccine denier, all of the things that she is, her people would, first of all, vandalize the Capitol, killed a policeman, and would not hesitate. And listen to this. If you kicked in their sad trailer on cinder blocks and you went into their trailer, they would not hesitate to shoot you dead. But we are expected to allow them to vandalize the Capitol. No policeman, I mean, the one policeman finally fired on one woman who was presenting a threat. But in any normal scenario, there would have been hundreds dead because they were threatening policemen, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
They would have opened up with automatic machine guns. Come on, let's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. There would have been, if it had been Russia in 1918, the Tsar's troops would have fired and mowed everyone down. If in the French Revolution, revolutionaries were perpetually fired on until finally they overwhelmed the king's military. But it's astounding how much they get away with. And yet, if it was a black person, or if it was black people who had stormed the Capitol, the steps would have run red. There would have been hundreds of people dead. There would have been it's astounding the double standard that continues today. And all I could think of was that this woman, in a sane world, this woman would have been beaten to death for doing what she was doing. It was like, wait a minute, there's no equal thing here. There's nothing equal here. Black men have been wrestled to the ground, have completely gone docile, and have had their necks knelt on for 9 minutes until finally even a big, husky black man's neck gives out after 9 minutes of a 200-pound cop kneeling on it. Yeah, even his trachea is not going to hold up. This woman pushed the policeman and continued to do all of this and did not have her fucking face punched in. I mean, he was well within his rights to break her jaw and throw her in the back of the car. But no. And we continue to do this. If he's not going to do it there, we continue to treat them. Why should we treat black people or any people of color more impatiently than we treated her? She was treated with ridiculous patience. I defy any one of us in that position not to have beaten the crap out of her. She deserved everything that she should have gotten, and no one did anything.
I'm
so glad I'm not a policeman, because I would be the policeman who would finally say, you know something, I've got to beat the crap out of you, because you are totally – you punched me, you've shoved me, you've insulted me, you're an idiot. And you deserve to be taken down permanently. And yes, I will be on the cover of the news for having beaten up a 60-year-old woman. You know, but you weren't going to get the vaccine anyway, so you weren't going to live anyway. So basically, I mean, your life is forfeit, so whatever. You know, who are you? Nobody cares. But we continue to have these double standards. And we had the Capitol stormed 2 months ago, and we're still tiptoeing around them, and they're going to get off. And, you know, Moo Cow Man wanted organic food in prison. This mother should be used as pinatas. My son, Danny, because he was taken to jail, and he has to have organic greens. Your son deserves to be used as a pinata, and so do you. It's like, what's going on? But this is the
crazy
world we live in. So.
It's crazy.
All right.
Well, for me, have you got your vaccine yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Sybil, you got your vaccine, right?
Oh, by the way, and here's something. I've moved to this new neighborhood, and we're surrounded by Asians in this neighborhood. This is a very high-functioning Asian, and when I say Asian, I mean everyone from Japanese, Korean, China, to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. We have all sorts of people of color around us. It's a wonderful mix of people, and they were celebrating the Festival of Lights back in, what was it, December. I can't remember the name of it. I'll look it up. They had fireworks go. It, lovely. And my two neighbors, Anantha and his wife, Vidya, who are from India, went around the neighborhood giving links. Is that our time's up? What is that?
I'm sorry.
What's going on?
It's a text.
Okay. Anyway, Vidya.
Someone pulled out her magic wand.
Vidya and
yeah,
Anantha
right?
Went around the neighborhood giving people links to, because we've tried everything. We've tried everything through Duane Reade, Rite Aid, Walgreens, CVS. We've tried the health departments. We've tried hospitals. We've tried doctor's offices. We could not get on a waiting list anywhere. And I'm a person of age. I more than qualify, and George qualifies. And so we have not been able to get anything going. And we've actually become, our area of the country around Philadelphia has actually made national news as a dramatically underserved area because of the distribution and everything flukes. Anyway, to make a long story short, Anantha came by with a link. We went on the link to register for the convention center in downtown Philadelphia, where FEMA, thank God they still exist, despite that idiot George Bush and despite Donald Trump, both poo-pooing FEMA and its importance to this country, and the military. We were served by Marines. We managed to finally get down there with one setback after another. Anantha came with a second link, which worked, and we drove down there. We got in line, and we got our first vaccine, and we are due for our second on April 2nd. And I thank my Indian neighbors, immigrants, by the way, who aren't wanted here, who are not welcome in our country. They are hated by the red voters. This is exactly the opposite of the born-again Christian family values, whatever that neo-Nazi tribe is that claims that they're the true Americans. This is true Americanism. Here are two people who I don't even know their last names, and they don't know mine. And they made a point of going to every neighbor on our circle here and saying, if you haven't gotten the vaccine, please try this link because I think that you might be able to qualify. We all are waiting for our vaccines, and we found that we were able to get it, and we'd like to pass this on to you as a person who lives down the street from me. Now, you tell me which one of those three-toothed hillbillies in the Capitol building with their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk thinks anywhere farther away than 6 inches from their own anal sphincter. You tell me any one of those people who has any interest in anyone else other than themselves. I am stunned and humbled by my neighbors constantly, not just this one incident. My neighbors are lovely.
That's what you're getting there, is they are closer to a more ancient culture than America.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
they're doing community. Somebody building a record set in the background.
Yes. What is that sound? What's going on?
Okay.
Wayne, are you doing something? Are you counting
are
your
you
pearls on the phone?
No. Matter of fact, I had it on mute, so I know it wasn't me.
Okay, Pamela, are you making pearl tapioca? What was that?
No, actually, I'm folding my masks right now. Actually.
Okay. I want to change the subject right now because we've bashed Trumpsters enough. Okay. I'm an equal opportunity hater. Everyone knows that who knows Sybil Brunson. My politics are very progressive, and I'm going to maybe relinquish the word liberal. I'm going to start talking about being progressive. And this is what I would like to say. We lost a cartoon character this week. He was 75 years old. He was born in 1945 and was exterminated this week. None other than the Looney Tunes. What is it? Is Looney Tunes?
Pepe Le Pew.
Who's?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pepe Le Pew.
Looney Tunes.
What do you mean? What do you think got rid of Mike? But that's the perfumer's little logo.
Right. So this is what I want to say, because I just looked at the time and I took up too much time on everything else, and I apologize. Pepe Le Pew, for me, first of all, he was French, and he was a takeoff on Charles Boyer. He was sort of Charles Boyer with, the French singer. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Maurice Chevalier. He was
Maurice
a cross
Chevalier.
Between Maurice Chevalier and Charles Boyer. He was very, Lucy, I am. Okay.
Yeah.
He was a Scot.
Yes.
Okay. I want to propose something, and I want you three to comment on this. He was a skunk. Okay. He wasn't a duck.
Yeah.
He wasn't a camel. He was a skunk. The joke was he was so overly sexed that he was mistaking an animal, not even another skunk, a cat who had accidentally gotten a white stripe down its back for a potential partner, a lovemate. Okay?
Oh,
next.
Yeah, I've
seen
that
okay,
one.
Wait. But let me finish. Let me finish, because we only have a little time here. Okay. He was a skunk going for another species, and when I watched it many years ago, I always assumed that the cat was a male, because the cat never speaks. And first of all, the cat never speaks. So, and it doesn't have false eyelashes or lipstick. It looks like Sylvester the cat, who is another member of the Looney Tunes family franchise, Tweety Bird and Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually looks like Sylvester. And it was always curious to me that it didn't have Sylvester's voice saying, "What are you doing? I'm a cat. I don't know that." He didn't do that. So the joke was that it was a skunk, French, chasing a cat who happened to have a white stripe down its back. And the gender of that cat was never even clear anyway. This has become the emblem of rape culture. What I think is funny is that, in fact, this is the – what is it the people say, sarcasm? What's the new joke? It's not PTSD. It's sarcasm recognition disorder, that people can't understand – or satire. I'm sorry, satire recognition disorder. People don't understand irony or satire. And so instead of being defensive of the French, if anyone – the French should be offended. Because it makes it out that a French person would be, you know, whimsical and would be aggressive sexually. It's so interesting that people are doing that. And all I can think is that if Mel Brooks was 30 today and did Springtime for Hitler today, the thought police on our side of the aisle, Wayne, Pamela, Gwendolyn, the thought police on our side of the aisle would jump in and say, "Oh, he's mocking and diminishing the extermination of 6 million Jews." It's like, no, Mel Brooks is mocking Hitler. He's doing something that you have to be sophisticated. You have to be brainy to understand that the worst thing you could do to Adolf Hitler is to do Springtime for Hitler. That's saying to an entire country, Germany, it's saying your leader is a clown, and we think everything about it is clowny, clowny. And it's like, so you three now weigh in, and you tell me why Pepe Le Pew and other characters are now disappearing onto a garbage heap of political correctness. I surrender.
I gotta tell you here, though. I mean, even Paul, geez, he's a filmmaker that works with Melissa McCarthy all the time. He's made some hilarious stuff in the last few years. And he writes those scripts. I can remember in one thing called Spy, hysterical, makes me laugh every time. She gets in the little sports car and takes a hell of a ride to find her
Target, and the counter sink back at the CIA is in her earpiece saying, you know, she's saying, you know, this is crazy, and a crazy car ride. And she says, what, Pepe Le Pew wasn't available? You know, but the punchline was hysterical. And you knew it, where it was coming from. And I just don't see how they can remove Pepe Le Pew from our...
Well, I wanted Pamela to do... I was so angry when I heard about this as it started. I wanted Pamela to do French food desserts and everything on our Fabulous Food Fridays on the Lollipop Guild page. I was like, we need to do like food that's French. And Pamela, what do you think about, do you believe that Pepe Le Pew and other cartoon characters are creating a rape culture among children? Where do you go in your head with this?
I don't go into my head, because it's not, it's my childhood, you know, and I didn't look at it. I mean, we didn't look at it as children as rape.
No,
you know, we didn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, something that was, I mean, rape was out there, but it wasn't in the forefront like it is today.
But what I want to ask you, Pamela, and Wayne, and Gwendolyn, is what do you think of our own brothers and sisters doing this? Because this isn't from the right. This isn't from right-wing people. This
no,
is
I know.
This
it,
is our own people.
Well, our own people.
Yes.
You can't tell me that there's any gay gypsies or Jews involved in that. I just don't think so. They're the ones who created it. So I just don't think so. The entertainment industry has got to be cut aside from that one. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. It's like Charlie Chaplin, you know, and his takeoff on Hitler. You were talking about Mel Brooks.
Yeah, the little tramp.
Always good for this. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is, but I think the thing that's most terrifying is that this is the politically correct culture, which is coming from the left, that is doing this stuff. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, no one is dismissing the Me Too movement. But on the other hand, But the Me Too movement is being devalued by hysteria. This is Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling. A twig hits Chicken Little on the head, and the sky is falling. This is not – Pepe Le Pew is not going to result in a rape.
Listen, I just – before we did the show, I was just finishing the 4-episode documentary on HBO, Allen versus Farrell. And what a, I mean, I didn't pay enough attention the first time around. I've always been an Allen fan. Actually, I've seen him live once. what a bastard. What a complete, and I saw in his movies the scene to cuckold women to a certain degree, train them up. But I just, so many fabulous, funny stories, but I have to tell you, what a bastard Woody Allen is, and the Hollywood industry that kowtowed to it until the last 2 years, and how it's come along and what's come up, and that, you know, it is what it is. He abused his daughter. I mean, holy crap. Well, I was absolutely gobsmacked today by that. And the Me Too people are standing, those actresses are standing up and have been for the last year saying, I believe Dylan Farrell. You know, it's like, wow.
Well, there's no question that there have been appalling things happening, and that things are coming to light. But we are living in a time when, well, first of all, the other side is leaping on anything they can find. Donald Trump could have gotten away with murder, and no one was interested in him resigning. Andrew Cuomo is on the verge of being thrown into a bonfire alive. I mean, it's like he must, you know, and everyone has climbed on. Everyone has climbed on and said he's got to resign. He's got his finished, gone, 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 gone. It at some point, we're going to have to, Al Franken, oh, my God, gone.
Yeah.
His career was over in 15 minutes. I mean, that was a career that was going somewhere. Andrew Cuomo, his handling of this whole catastrophe, the COVID catastrophe, 6 months ago, a year ago, people were saying this guy is positioning himself for a run for the presidency. His career's gone, completely gone.
Yeah.
What it's interesting, Andrew Weiner showing pictures of his penis and, of course, his unfortunate last name. That was the end of that career in New York, completely gone.
Yeah.
But the other side will tolerate a Donald Trump and do nothing about it. So, and they are using their highfalutin rage against Andrew Cuomo. So they're calling for Cuomo to be dismantled, but they are not calling for their own people who are having sex in bathrooms. They're gay Republican people who have been born again Bible thumpers who are engaging in male sex in an airport bathroom. It's like
Lady
so
G.
We have to at some point we're going to have to figure out what's going on our side, because we're throwing wood into our own bonfire and submitting our own members, Pepe Le Pew and Andrew Cuomo, to the fire. We can't get anyone to do it on the other side, but boy, we're helping the Republicans throw wood into our fire, and we're even submitting our own characters into it. Pepe Le Pew, gone.
Well,
it's like, wow, really?
Certain parts of the machinery are clanking. I hear what you're saying, but what I'm listening to and what I'm hearing you say, I'm thinking of the excellent example you provided a couple of shows back of Nero, you know, tuning up the rosin and rosining up the bow and fiddling on away, you know, because we are watching it's not just America either.
We've talked about that.
And
I have friends in Germany right now who say that Europe is going through a very strange period of drifting to the right in many countries.
Well,
I'm looking at the time here.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
Yeah. And Pamela dropped, her call dropped. So.
I'm sorry. That's too bad. All right. Well, listen, let me do our sign off. Maybe we're going to have to do a 2-hour show every week. we get revved up, and then we have so much to talk about. And Wayne is now a new member of our What's My Line board. I think we should just have a board of four people like What's My Line. And we should have four guests. And yes, and I'll be John Cameron Swayze. I'll be John Daly. And Gwendolyn, you'll be Kitty Carlisle. And or Arlene Francis. You'll be Arlene Francis. Or better yet, you could be Dorothy Kilgallen. Anyway, let's say goodnight to our crowd. Wayne, thank you for calling in. You've been listening at home to our Tuesday emergency broadcast of Come Now, Don't Sulk, here, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. We are here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And you can find us at SybilSez.com, that's S-Y-B-I-L, S-E-Z.com, SybilBrunson.com, and on the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild. Please join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We've been brought to you, as always, by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Please go to DaughtersOfIsis.com and see all their amazing products and purchase some for your senses, for your metaphysical well-being, for your sensual well-being, all of it. We will see you again next week. And I'm so grateful to my producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, to my guest tonight, Wayne. Thank you so much for joining us. It was wonderful having you. Pamela. We promise, Pamela, I want you to call in at the beginning of the show next week, and we'll talk food, 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 and we won't get off on a track about whether Republicans think the earth is flat or not. So I think that that's about it. Please join us next week. I love you, Wayne. I love you, Pamela. I love you at home. And Gwendolyn, I love you so much. Good night, everybody.
I love you, too.
Good night.
Night.